Digital nation building is underway. Trillions of dollars of wealth creation is waiting to be taken.
Yeah.
Ignore these short-term fluctuations. Valuation is notional, dilution is real. Better environment to build businesses. So really think outcome backwards. And I think, personally, I would have rather started in this environment than in the 21 environment, because the journey will be better.
Hi, and welcome to Matrix Moments. Happy New Year to everyone, and Avi. We've done many episodes on valuation, including marginal value add, valuations versus dilution, amongst others. But it seems like this is one of those topics where every time the macro environment is evolving, it's an evergreen topic, one needs to do it again. So we've titled it Environment, Valuations, and Starting Up in 2023. And let's talk through some of this environment and how it's changing. I guess recapping to begin with, 2020 was COVID, big year in terms of how founders needed to react. 2021 was very quickly a boom cycle, and that changed many things. And then 2022 was the exact opposite. It was almost like a bust cycle where nothing could go right. Well, many things did, but still. So it's actually very hard for founders to navigate. And any thoughts, early thoughts rather, on what 2023 will likely look like? And what do you think, how will valuations likely trend this year?
Yeah, so glad to be back. Happy New Year to everybody. So what advice did we give in 2020 and how did that play out?
Well, 2020 we said conserve, because there was basically, you're saying at the start of 2020?
Well, no, at COVID time.
Well,
so us and everybody gave the advice that the world is ending, and it ended up being the biggest boom for a year and a half. So therefore, caveat emptor. So it ended up being really crazy times, right? But I think if you step back, it is very human and natural to react to boom and bust cycles. But if you do that, I think it's a very hard. The thrill and the excitement and the enjoyment of the startup journey and a venture capitalist journey actually becomes the opposite. One needs to recognize that this is how disruptive innovation happens. It, and by the way, I've read some stuff around, it goes all the way back to the railroads and to gold mining. I mean, these are all driven by manic depressive behaviors. And that's when things get overcapitalized. So net point, booms and busts are a feature, not a bug. And they do create a long-term, generally it is, they create a new industry, happened with the internet, they create new infrastructure. So don't overreact to it. We have also discussed in the past, and you and I guess will continue. It's also one of the funner things to do to kind of recap where things stand. So we have discussed, you know, what defines a bubble. Every time I guess we are in a bubble. We've also done these during bust times earlier, I remember. So we'll keep doing it, you know, every time there's a big macro shift. So typically we have said there are three V's to a bubble. The most
volume.
Yeah, it depends on and we'll talk about how this one played out differently. Volume, value, velocity. Lots of deals are happening at high prices, generally, and very fast. I would say whenever we have discussed this before, we would see this in the later stage, and we would see it volume clearly and value and in later stage. In early stage, we would see velocity and volume. This time it was all three V's. Even early stage valuations went back. And sadly, this is a 18 month period, maybe a 1 year period, and which is why I'm very keen and why we are doing this, that can really mess with the founder's mindset of what is normal and what their expectation are. A 12 month period over the last 10, 12 years of Indian venture capital. So we really need to make sure people are not anchored to this, because it was a very random time. Our peers did, most of them did 30, 40 investments. We did less than 10, which today looks smart. But if this environment had lasted even three more months, I think our own FOMO would have taken over, right? So this time was different. Have seen this play out multiple times in mid to later stages. first time we saw this spill over into early stages and with a vengeance.
Yeah, no, I think definitely agree. But at the same time, what's the new normal then? Like, is it back to 2016, 2018 kind of time frame? Because the market has deepened.
Yeah.
So how should one...
See, the market has deepened, but we have to keep in perspective that the free money kind of so... And this is going to be very hard for us as investors, especially the ones who have not seen pre-2008, as well as founders to adjust to. That this is not 2020-21 issue. This actually started at a macro level post-GFC. And we'll talk a little bit about how big a deal that is. Free money, money printing, which is money supply, as well as almost zero interest rate. The flight to venture capital, when rates really started going closer to zero, people start becoming more risk seeking. And I think, you know, when the big fund announcement happened with the Vision Fund, I think the craziness kind of started then. So I think this is a 5 to 6 year period of craziness. The normal time, which will also have cycles, by the way, but the more normal time when you look at macro conditions that are likely to repeat is actually 2010 to 16. And maybe 2003 to 7. Now, both of them had cycles. I'm not taking 2000 to 2002 because that was a clear bust. But if you want to talk about normal conditions, that those are the normal conditions. In venture capital, what we saw, I would say 16, 17 parts of 18 were normal. So I think in India, you can expect that that's where we'll end up. So Fred Wilson actually sent, you know, Union Square Ventures, someone I look up to. He actually has written this in his last newsletter. 2010 to 16 is the period. Seed rounds in the US, by the way, are back to 6 million post. Our seed investments in Fund 3 are exactly in that range. I mean, you were involved with this and a bunch of them. A's are 10 to 20 million post. Corrections have started happening in India. The same deals that would happen at 20 to 40 are now happening at 8 to 15 post, right? Now, which is why I'm saying it would be tragic if people are indexed on 12 months because those were infinity. And there was a logic to the infinity because the price, and you had a point and maybe we should talk about it. Why in zero interest rate environments, any valuation can be justified, right? Yeah. What's the logic?
I mean, simple, right? Like ultimately private markets somewhere correlate to public markets. And in public markets, you know, people are doing some version of a DCF model where 80-90% of the valuation of any company sits in the terminal value. And you know, if you have 1% interest rates, let's not take zero, let's take one as a simple example, you're basically discounting those cash flows at a very, very different rate versus the same interest rate was 5%.
Yeah.
For argument's sake, if like 80-90% of your value sits in terminal value and that discount rate changes, then basically automatically your overall valuation drops by like 30%, like just basis the shift in interest rates.
And by the way, just as a corollary, which is also why near-term profits become more important than long-term profits, because terminal value becomes...
Yeah, I mean, there were some companies which were actually, you know, projecting in, you know, 10, 15 years forward, you know, their cash flows. And then, you know, it just, that's never been the case in the past. Yeah.
No, so the reality is, it's not that this time is different. It is that 2021 was different. And therein lies the nuance, right? And valuations, in my view, are back 8 to 15 post, depending on the stage, at a very early stage. And single-digit valuations are, again, I mean, they're happening in the US, which is a much deeper market.
Yeah. So. That is true and agreed and accepted, like especially the, you know, global context and, you know, public market context. But at the same time, India now has over 100 unicorns, and that's also real.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's great to see many of these companies having gotten to where they have. It's also a bit worrying to hear some of the news that's coming out of some of these companies around, you know, org design changes, layoffs. How is this going to play out like closer to home in India?
Yeah. So I'm going to actually borrow from maybe what we were going to speak about a little bit later. But I think given we are speaking of valuations, we should again keep reminding what we have said in the valuations episode. Valuations are notional, dilution is real, right? And we'll talk about in the context of our advice to founders, how that is relevant. Coming to your point, I think we first need to go back to the macro. And we have discussed this, you and I have chatted about this in other episodes. Current GDP, $3.5 trillion. Next 5 to 7 years, most forecasts, we are breaking away, should add $3.5 trillion. We should just pause and take a deep breath. We will add in 5 to 7 years the same amount of GDP that we have ever had in the history of the country cumulatively in 75 years. That's a big deal.
Big deal.
Right? Yeah. Really big deal. And it is happening digital first. Right? You have done some math, I have done some math that it is 1.5 to 2 trillion. You want to?
No,
so
actually,
the point being that we believe that somewhere in the trillions of digital market cap is getting created. So you want to walk through your math?
Yeah, no, so I think the it's actually, for founders, this is something that should give everyone a lot of inspiration. But just do the top-down math, like market cap to GDP in listed markets generally tends to be in the 1:1 range. Like sometimes it overshoots, sometimes it under, you know, corrects, all of that. But India is a 3.5 trillion economy. Coincidentally, our market cap is also somewhere in that range, 3.5 trillion. If that 3.5 trillion GDP gets to 7 trillion over the next 5 to 7 years, likely that market cap will also get there. Now, if you look at what is private plus public on the digital side, what's the cumulative market cap, and add all the companies, right? Flipkart and, you know, everyone, right? That number today is not more than 100 to 150 billion.
Even if you were to take the implied value of the globals here, probably no more than 200, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking sub 5%.
Correct.
Sub 5% penetration of digital market cap into total market cap of 3.5 trillion, right? That same 5% number, by the way, in China is closer to 35. At peak, it was almost 50%.
Yeah.
Now it's closer to 35
US
to 40%.
US is 42%. 40, 42.
At peak,
was
I think
at
US.
Peak.
At
yeah,
peak, again,
probably
US
come
is
down
42%.
To 30,
now again,
yeah.
It's probably in the 30%.
Yeah.
I mean, over the next 5 to 7 years, even a conservative guess for India, it has to get to somewhere in the 15 to 20% zone.
So I actually think even more.
Of course, also believe that it can be even more.
No, but I'll give you a logic, but finish your,
Yes, and 20% of 7 trillion is 1.5 trillion.
Absolutely.
We are at 100 to 150, so we are talking actually a whole 1.4 trillion of market cap that's waiting to get created. And a lot of it is going to come to incumbents, but a very large portion is going to come to innovators. And so that's obviously what, you know, excites us.
So I think I am even more optimistic. One of the things we keep talking about is that we lag in physical infrastructure. So by the way, 2028, we are going to be the third largest economy. Hopefully, it may be even sooner. So when you benchmark to the US and China, we have generally lagged behind in industrialization, manufacturing, you know, bunch of these things, hard infrastructure. But we are number one in soft infrastructure. Our architecture, I mean, US can still not launch a goods and services tax. They just can't. There's too much opposition, right? So because I think digitization is leading our growth, I think we could be 35-40%. So we'll see. But large numbers, right?
Very large.
So now coming back to your question on 120 unicorns. So I think it's going to be, you know, the fact that it's going to be a year of reckoning and all of that, everybody's saying, when everybody's saying it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to be a year of reckoning unless the founders decide that it should be the year of reckoning. I actually believe it should be the year of reckoning. But there is this confusion between runway and business model. A lot of these companies raise tons of capital. And so they have what is called infinite runway in many cases. My personal view, there are likely three buckets in these unicorns. They are ones that have no business models. They will at best get strategic exits and investors may lose money. I was listening to a US public market investor who said in the US, the valuations of the companies, you know, many cases, if you were to apply comparable multiples, if you were to apply comparable public market multiples, the valuation of the private companies is less than the liquidation preference that they would have. I mean, that's the extent of the problem, and that problem is here as well. It is here as well. Because ultimately, you have to realize who's our investor. They can invest in these US public companies. A lot of the later stage investors, they can invest in these. So we saw all these crossover funds suddenly, you know, went over to the US saying this is much cheaper. That is going to be an issue. So if the business model needs more money, so that's one category. Second category, need money, but some business model. Not profitable, but need money with a business model. I think they will raise money. Growth is going to save them. So India is a growth story. And if their previous rounds were overvalued, if they've grown into it, flat rounds, if it is, it could be a down round, don't worry about it. Just take it. This is all notional, right? It's like in the stock market. Do all the industrialists here react? Look at Elon Musk. His net worth has gone down by 200 billion, right? You can't, is he doing anything different than he would do otherwise? No, right? You do what you can control. Third, I think, is the most exciting category, which is scaling with profits or a path to it. And I think you will see a flight to quality. We are lucky to be in a few of those, including our business. So I think there is going to be a flight to quality, and these companies will actually break away. And you will see, hopefully in the first half itself, that, so my prediction, first half will show you, so 20, 50, 30 is how I would say it. 20% in the first category. These are directional numbers, 50% in the second category, 30% in the third category. Third category will blossom sooner, in my view. First category will require the most work, because I don't think founders see it that way, nor do sometimes investors. Investors are also very guilty of resting on their marks, not having to confront 2-3 year ka runway. Why, you know, why do anything? I think these companies will, and maybe some of the second category, they will decrease in value with the passage of time. The intervention should be now, whether it's austerity, because beyond a point, you can't cost cut your way to a business model. But at least focus on finding one. Don't just rest on the comfort of runway. I think if there is one advice I would give is don't confuse runway and business model. And everybody in this market has runway, but very few have business models. Focus on the business model.
Yeah. No, can't agree more. And I think it's a very challenging statement to make, which is runway is not equal to business model, because most founders will challenge that thinking.
Why? So, you know, we had this discussion in the other episode on Infinity Founders. We actually learned that thinking from them. We have spoken about a bunch of them, and I'll tell you, there are so many of them. When the market turned in 2022, before we could have a conversation, they changed how they're running their businesses. And they took full control of their destiny until they felt the business model is now working. And I'll tell you, they will be in that first category. Some of them are unicorns, some of them are not, and will become. They will be in that first category where you'll actually, the third category where you'll see up rounds, even in this environment.
So the conventional thinking, which I don't agree with, is that the business model emerges with scale.
In some cases. But passage of time doesn't change anything. A business model emerges with scale, maybe in some cases. Profits can emerge with, okay, so let's put it this way. Margins can change with scale. Maybe profits can emerge a little bit with scale. I don't think business model at the unit level emerges with scale. It has to work on a LTV to CAC level, which it was broken a lot for
many
companies.
So is it fair to say then that the founders just waited too long?
Because we talk about macro a lot, I want to have a chat just to, we started off saying that 2008 onwards, the world has been different, right? How has it been different? So there's something called, and the US is the largest economy in the world. China was much smaller at that time. So what the US Federal Reserve does has a lot of influence on what happens in the world. They buy bonds. When they buy bonds, they release cash into the market. Between, and these numbers are again directional, not necessarily exact, between GFC and pre-COVID, that number went from like a one and a half trillion on their balance sheet to like a two and a half trillion. Between start of COVID to now, that has doubled to 4 trillion. So So this has just been awash in liquidity. Then a lot of this stuff happened, so interest rates were also brought down. Now let's do some math. So now you know interest rates in the US have gone up by 5 percentage points. What's the world's GDP?
World's GDP? Probably somewhere in the 80 to 100 trillion range.
100 trillion, 96, 97 trillion. What's the world's debt?
Ooh, this will be, it's actually greater than 100 trillion.
250.
Yeah. So.
By the way, what is India's debt to GDP, which is why I'm a big India bull.
India's debt to GDP is much lower.
0.7, like, yeah. 70, 75%. US debt to GDP, 200%. China debt to GDP like that. Japan debt to, which is why the number, correct, because we are still smaller, right? So if interest rates go up by 5 percentage points on $250 trillion of debt, how much does interest outflow go up by?
It's like crazy. It's like whatever. 12 trillion.
What percentage of the world GDP is that?
That's like
very large number.
12%.
12%. What is the world supposed to grow at? Where will this money come from? How was this money coming from before? They used to print money. Now what has changed? What does printing money do?
Inflation. Can't do it.
So there is a version of the world where, by the way, so what the US Fed is doing is they are taking out $100 billion a month now from their balance sheet, which is a good idea because slowly over 2-3 years, you bring that 4-5 trillion balance sheet down back to one, whatever that number should be.
Trillion.
I'm not an economist to know what the right number is, but 5 is wrong, right? So I think this could be a multi-year. That's why I say don't go by the last few years. This could be a slow, soft landing, but it could be 2-3 years, right? And if you start thinking like that, then you start wondering, hey, all this current environment, valuations have changed, whatever, let's keep the bigger picture and do what you have to do, right? In that, we have discussed about market cap India. I just think many things, you want to talk about this 777222 concept?
Yeah,
my
no,
idea
think,
is different.
No, so the simple logic is, you know, the West or the US specifically has always been built on a 222 kind of model, which is 2% growth, 2% inflation, 2% interest rates.
Yeah.
And India has always been more 777, 7% growth, 7% interest rate, 7% inflation. And so in the current environment, when inflation is at 7%, give or take in India, maybe a little bit more, but it's not a shock to the Indian economy. And you can see it around you, right? Like people, you know, are spending, yeah, businesses are, you know,
no, let's
investing.
Make it real. My own home loan EMI has gone up 15% in the last 1.5 years, yeah, right? Maybe 20%. What is that number in the US?
So that in the US, the mortgage rates are actually like at less than the long-term average.
So 2.5.
It used to be 1%, yeah, and then it's now gone to, you know, 6-7%.
So people's monthly EMI has gone up 2-4x.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's going to destroy the consumer spending. It's, yeah, going to destroy the consumer spending. So that is the, when we say 777 and 222, the what people have to think about is the transmission through the economy. We are always used to this. And this is one of those times like we are like, this only helps us.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus there, it's a big shock to the system.
Yeah. No, and you can see it, right? Like the the data from the US is actually not that clear. Like,
yeah, it's very confusing.
At one level, there's like, you know, the jobs data is very positive.
Yeah.
Inflation is very strong. At the same time, you're hearing of, you know, tech companies, you know, laying off, yeah, like large numbers of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's actually very mixed.
Yeah.
So I concur with you. I think the US is definitely going to, you know, not provide, see, that clarity to us,
see,
sooner
and,
versus later.
Yeah, and what happens is when these companies, they are public companies, they can't give out their results on a daily basis or tell the market. The leading indicator is the layoffs. What can they control? If their revenue is not showing up, what can they control immediately?
Cost.
Right, cost. Yeah. And I was just looking at, and you know, the costs do add up. And I believe sometimes people don't think of that even in the Indian context, because you have to look at INR revenue, INR cost, right? The cost of a fully loaded employee in the US, what do you think it is? Like Twitter fired three, they basically went to half, right? So maybe 4,000 people, 3,500, 4,000. What do you think is the cost, fully loaded cost of that employee?
250,000, 300,000?
I think it's lower than that. I mean, that would make it a, if you do the math, that would generate $7.5 billion of profit a year now for Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's closer to 100 to 150 because there will be junior employees and all that. In which case, it's still going to be $4-5 billion a year of incremental. I think people need to think like that. But where I think, and this is why, I mean, this is not a discussion on Musk and his style, but I think incrementality doesn't work in these things. Non-incrementality does. So if I, by the way, we had to do it. So we had to do it in Bazi. We went from 193 to 70, one shot, employees, right, when we had to do it. So I think you have to take these big, bold calls. Mm. Because only then does this math add up. Otherwise, you do a 10% layoff. You kill the morale, and you don't get the get the cost benefit. So.
You know, we are meeting many founders.
No, but before that, sorry, Rajendra, you had asked me if founders waited too long, and we branched off into something else. I, again, keep the perspective. So my answer is no. What are you building a business for? If you were to starting out, what are you building it for?
Well, for your customers, for your employees, for yourself.
What's changed?
Nothing.
So I actually believe, so fundraise is not success. You're not building it for fundraise. Has the fundraise environment turned? Yes. But turned off something that will never come back, in my view, or was will not come back for a period of time, which was a 12-month period. Look at the normalized steady state period. I actually believe this is a better time to build. Because when the fundraise environment is frothy, not only are you raising money, you may feel that you've gotten a great valuation, but not only are you raising money, others are also raising money. What does that do to your expenses and burn rate and all of that?
Yeah.
So you may get a higher valuation, but your burn is also higher. Are you burning cash?
Yeah, for sure.
Where do you get the cash? Equity.
Yeah.
You're burning your equity.
Yeah, equity yeah.
You're setting your equity on fire. And so this is all notional. And to me, they have not waited too long. I genuinely believe this is the best time to start. We know there are layoffs everywhere. Within our human capital team, we are getting every week spreadsheets of people who are in the market and available. There's less competition for talent, less competition for customers. The CAC is going down. So you have to look at the end state. Think about what are you building for? What is the future that you're building for? And then these valuations get put in perspective that for the first principles, the right way to build, these are the right valuations. And you're probably better off now than you would have been otherwise. And I think we kind of answered your question on, but you want to just put it in?
Yeah, no, so I think the point was really around, you know, in this environment, you know, people are still thinking valuation versus dilution. People are looking at some large companies and, you know, looking at the ownership of founders there and thinking, you know, what should my end state ownership look like? Should it be, you know, single digit like some of the others? Should it be higher?
I think that's a great point. That's a great point. If I were to start, I'm sure if you were to start and you were to look out when you have a successful business, you have single digit ownership, I think you will say it's unacceptable. I'm not going to start. I think that's fair. I believe it's fair. But the data is wrong. And the data is wrong because, and we are not going to name them, most of the founders who have created these very large companies ended up in single digit ownerships. But why? Because the market was not deep.
Correct.
Hyper competition was there. Some of these hyper competition cycles were there. The issue, the first round will always be 20 to 30% dilution, 25 to 35% dilution, including, so whether you call it seed or A, including your ESOP pool. This is how it's worked for 45 years, it's not going to change. Second round, likely to be 15 to 20% dilution. What happened in these companies is their C, B, C, D, all the way to Z rounds were happening at 25 to 40% dilution because of hyper competition, because I think founders were making the mistake of raising too much capital. We discussed in our episode, think about single digit dilution without, and one of our founders has actually taught me, Anurag, that, you know, it's like a public stock. When you don't need the money, and you are heading towards profits, you're like a public stock. If you find the right price, take a little bit more, and you keep, you know, taking the price up. So to me, most, and by the way, we have done this analysis, they are all in the 25 to 45% ownership range. So the data is wrong. And that data is resulting in wrong decisions now. Or not wrong decisions, it's harsh, but just too much angst ki yaar ye valuation change hui. It's actually pehla round mein to itna hona hi hai. It is how do you build your business, and therefore in this environment, it's a better environment to build a business with capital efficiency. So if you look at the outcome, my bet, my conviction is you're better off in this next 2-3 years than you would have been in the previous ID environment.
I think good message. Putting it together, like any closing advice just on environment 2023, more of a medium term view?
I mean, you know all this and it's so exciting. Digital nation building is underway. Trillions of dollars of wealth creation is waiting to be taken. Ignore these short term fluctuations. Valuation is notional, dilution is real. Better environment to build businesses. So really think outcome backwards. And I think, personally, I would have rather started in this environment than in the 21 environment, because the journey will be better. You said people who start, the infinity entrepreneurs, they take their time, you know, they are thoughtful. Where did you have the time to do all of that? So don't take a very abnormal period as normal, because that period had a lot of negativity, a lot of issues. So just super excited, and hopefully, and by the way, on that note, so just to put environment in context, April, May to about August, September, company creation had fallen off, founders were scared, we were scared, everybody was, right? We were looking, but we weren't finding. Last 4-5 months, founders are coming out of the woodworks. I love it. The only issue is this valuation reset hasn't happened, right? But excellent founders coming out, and super excited to partner with them, and highly encouraging of this phase.
Thanks.
Okay, super.
Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.